See You Now is a podcast highlighting the innovative and human-centered solutions that nurses are coming up with to solve for today's most challenging healthcare problems. Created in collaboration with Johnson & Johnson and the American Nurses Association.
We started this journey together in 2021 when you first used the National Action Plan to assess Ascension, and here we are 4 years later.
For a while, things felt a little chaotic. Everybody had different goals.
One of the things the National Action Plan self-assessment did was it uncovered conversations we've never had.
This hospital leader said, "Wow, I had no idea that you guys had stopped doing that. And the reason that you had stopped doing that was because your belief or perception was that priorities had shifted when in fact they had not."
The work is imagined versus work is done can be so variable depending upon whose eyes are on the work.
You absolutely have to have your chief nurse at the table. You need several nursing leaders to give feedback on the structures and processes and then to help understand those results.
Mature organizations who understand safety and understand risk will say, "Let's not blame the person for doing the workaround. Let's learn from the workaround."
We want our associates to know from a leadership perspective that if they are speaking up, that no matter what, we've got their back.
Welcome to See You Now. I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Safety is a system property. Workforce safety and patient safety are inseparable. Patients and families are co-producers of safety. Those are just some of the many learnings we gained in episode 123, Safer Together, The Architecture of a Movement, when we spoke with Dr. Don Berwick and nurse Patricia McGaffigan, two of the world's leading voices in healthcare quality and safety. Now, in this episode, we're thrilled to have Patricia McGaffigan back for a conversation that moves us from plan to practice, to learn how the Safer Together National Action Plan is being implemented across one of the nation's largest healthcare systems, how assessments revealed cracks in their foundation, how tiered huddles and feedback loops built trust and culture, and how they're involving nurses at every level.
Hi, I'm Patricia McGaffigan, Senior Advisor for Safety and President of the Certification Board for Professionals in Patient Safety at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, better known to many as IHI.
My name is Kelly Randall, and I serve as the Vice President for Patient Safety and Compliance within Ascension. Ascension is quite a large health system. We have right at 100 hospitals spread across 12 different states within the United States. In addition to our hospitals, we have about 2,000 medical office practices, numerous ambulatory surgery centers, and then a cadre of senior living facilities.
Well, welcome, Kelly. It is a delight to once again be partnering with you in a conversation about patient safety. You and I go back for several years where we were partnering on the creation and the refinement and now the implementation of the Safer Together National Action Plan. And you have been just leading some of the most ambitious system-wide efforts to deploy the National Action Plan across Ascension. And I'm so eager to hop into those suggestions and those lessons learned so we can share them with others today. But before we begin, this is the second, as you know, in our safety series. The first series, Don Berwick and I talked a lot about where we were at with safety, what some of the tailwinds and opportunities were that we had to improve safety. And we bring you here today to help us really operationalize that in the day-to-day work of everyone who's listening. Before we get started, I would love for you to share a little bit about your own journey through your career and what brings you to the point of the conversation today.
Sure, absolutely. And it's good to be with you again today, Patricia. So I'm trained as a social worker. My clinical background is in working with children that have behavioral health issues. And early in my career, I had the opportunity to be exposed to quality through participation in a quality improvement initiative with the State Department of Health, with the organization that I was working for during that time. And it was in that work that I realized that that was really the type of work that filled my cup, as opposed to some of the more individually focused clinical work that I was doing. And I changed my course. I went on to study healthcare administration, expanded beyond the walls of behavioral health, and found a home in patient safety. I earned my PhD in health services administration at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. And I had the amazing privilege to partner with the Solutions for Patient Safety Network to study the role of high reliability practices on safety outcomes. Having experienced a serious safety event with a family member, but not knowing at that time as a very young individual that that was what was happening, really continues to fuel my passion for the work that we're doing in Ascension and we're doing with the National Action Plan for Advancing Patient Safety. And it's my hope that no one experiences what I did and what my family did during that time or has to question if I would have just done this, would the outcome have been different? So we have a long way to go within the healthcare industry today, but I'm confident in our commitment and I'm excited to be on this journey with so many wonderful people.
Thank you, Kelly. And I predicted you would be very humble in your description of your career in patient safety. And I wanted to note that Kelly was just named again for the second time to the Becker's list of patient safety experts to know. And the work that she's going to be describing today is really one of the reasons why Kelly stands out as a leader amongst leaders in safety. So wonderful again to be partnering with you about this. And thank you for that overview. Kelly, we started this journey together in 2021 when you first used the National Action Plan to assess Ascension, and here we are 4 years later. Could you describe some of what's different today compared to 4 years ago, areas that you perhaps might want to illuminate that have at least correlated with some of the work and the amplification of safety as a result of the National Action Plan?
Absolutely. So several years ago, coming out of the COVID pandemic and trying to find our new normal and getting back to what those commitments were as we were just completely taken up with COVID during that time was a little bit of a struggle. And we had to really find our way. And in that pandemic management, we were so focused on keeping our patients safe and in a different way, I think we kind of became a little complacent with some of the hardwired high reliability practices that we had throughout our organization. And that's really where the National Action Plan came in. It was that spark that we needed to say, we saw some backslide during the pandemic. We saw some things that we thought were hardwired that maybe are not hardwired now that need to be. We saw some slippage in some of our outcomes. And why was that? What was it in our foundation or our infrastructure that allowed that to happen? I think we've grown a tremendous amount over the past 5 years within the organization. I can certainly say that we are seeing our safety culture improve. We've seen evidence of that with our most recent culture of safety survey that we administered over 50,000 responses from associates, and we saw 68% of the items improve statistically over an 18-month period, which is phenomenal growth from a culture perspective. Culture is really hard to shift and change, so that movement makes us very proud. We've additionally seen significant increases continually in reporting, signaling to us, again, that culture is improving. Our associates are telling us the things that are happening and that they're concerned about. We're getting better at identifying those risks. We're also seeing that improvement in our tiered safety huddle process. So every hospital in Ascension has a unit level safety huddle every day, as well as a facility level safety huddle every day. And we're in the process of implementing market safety huddles as well. So many of our markets have those huddles in place. And we do a national safety huddle every Monday within Ascension, where we as national leaders are coming together and talking about the things that we need to respond to and help break through barriers on from a safety perspective. We've also seen continual improvement in our quality metrics, such as mortality, healthcare-associated infections, and a lot of what we attribute these to is the organization around quality and safety within Ascension. For a while, things felt a little chaotic. Everybody had different goals, and we all felt like we were running in different directions to the same endpoint. And we've really been able to come together through leadership conversations, understanding the results of the National Action Plan, and really understanding what our North Star is, and become much more streamlined around those efforts. And now, instead of running in different directions to get to the same endpoint, it feels like we're all running together in the same path, which is wonderful.
And Kelly, what you just described with great humility, I think is a reality shared by many. One of the experiences I've had in my work with you has just been the generosity and the honesty of what your experiences have been. And I know in the world of patient safety, and you and I both come from pediatric backgrounds, we wouldn't dream of competing on safety. We collaborate on safety. And that is in part what this whole National Action Plan was all about, bringing 27 different types of national organizations, including associations and federal health partners and patient and family groups and accreditors and others to the table. And so it's in the spirit of that collaboration that the National Action Plan was created, with a focus on some of those foundational areas that we felt maybe had been largely overlooked in our day-to-day work on safety, and sometimes in the conflation of quality improvement with safety. So maybe you could take a moment to talk at a high level about those four areas for us to recenter on now in this era that we're currently in, with so much challenge and so much opportunity in the safety arena.
Sure. One of the things that I love about the National Action Plan is that it's a nice reflection of the structures and the processes that we need to have in place in order to drive the outcomes that are desired. And within each of the four foundational areas, you'll see all of that embedded in and interconnected. So within the culture, leadership, and governance foundational area, this one's really focused on what is the executive level support and accountability, and the board level support and accountability for safety. One of the learnings that we had within our organization was that our leadership teams absolutely knew that they were accountable for our safety and our quality outcomes, and they would drive those and set those expectations. But then there were some delegation and some proxying of those accountabilities to others within the organization, rightfully so. But in those delegations, how are we ensuring what that accountability looks like and providing the support that's needed to break through any barriers that those people on the ground doing the work are experiencing? And so that provided a really nice opportunity for us to set up some different structures within our organization to ensure those leaders had the support that they needed in a positive way, where we were learning from each other and not beating each other over the heads with sticks to drive the outcomes in a punitive way. And the reason I say that that's so important is because if that infrastructure is not right for the organization, or if it has cracks in it, then that's when you're going to see the human drift in performance with high reliability, or you may not see those high reliability practices stick as much. So if there's a crack in that leadership accountability structure within the organization, you may not see your leadership driving those tiered safety huddles and getting the closed loop feedback on the risks that are identified. So understanding the infrastructure and how the National Action Plan allows us to do that is really, really important.
And I think the premise for that, as we know, is that safety is a system property. And so when we were creating the National Action Plan, we were thinking about what those essential system structures, infrastructures, and processes were that needed to be inculcated into the daily work of the organization. One of the things the National Action Plan self-assessment did was it uncovered conversations we've never had. And one of the examples that we often see in organizations is that, well, the National Action Plan assesses whether safety is in the job description of all senior leaders and the board and others. Many organizations don't have that. And you kind of referenced that when you talked about the proxying of safety to certain people who have a title like your own or certain departments versus embedding that deeply into the daily work of the organization. You also referenced, as we talked about culture, leadership, and governance, Kelly, the importance of leadership commitment. And as we know, the C-suite has a lot of churn in it, like all other roles, quite frankly, in healthcare right now. And you are facing your own retirement of your system CEO. So maybe you could also just amplify a little bit about how the structured work of doing the assessment on an ongoing basis also keeps the importance of this structure and processes central to everyone, even amid many of those churns and changes.
Absolutely. The ongoing assessment allows us to understand and keep everybody apprised of where we are, because I would expect, well, you'll see some flux in those scores or in the results of the assessment as you have that turnover, as priorities within the organization change, and as our environment just continues to be as complex as it is. What we experienced when we did the very first assessment was not everybody can know everything that's happening within the organization. And while we thought we did an amazing job at communicating the amazing work and the amazing outcomes that we had within the organization, we realized that we had some opportunities to do that better. And I can vividly remember one conversation during the assessment where we had a leader who was adamant that work was being done. And there was another individual in the room who was a little bit quieter, and you could see her shaking her head. And so we prompted that conversation a little bit, and there was quite a debate around whether or not some specific work was happening within the organization. And ultimately, at the end of that, this hospital leader said, "Wow, I had no idea that you guys had stopped doing that. And the reason that you had stopped doing that was because your belief or perception was that priorities had shifted when in fact they had not." And so just that conversation allowed us to come back together, get that work back on track fairly quickly, and recognize where we had some of those communication gaps. We're seeing some of those same learnings a few years later as we've reassessed. And that's because we have not only new leaders in place, but you just can't know everything. And we make a lot of decisions as leaders in healthcare. And so that alone is one of the biggest benefits of the assessment for us, is keeping everybody on the leadership team apprised of where we are with those things that we have to have in place and we have to do from a safety perspective.
Kelly, that brings us to a great bridge of opportunity here for you to maybe shine a little bit of light on how you conduct your assessments. And maybe you could share a little bit more about who is included in these assessments at Ascension, and also paint the blueprint for what you did and what's transferable.
Absolutely. So, as we looked at the National Action Plan for the very first assessment, we wanted to conduct the assessment in person because we wanted to have a conversation amongst the leaders. And what we found was that qualitative data really generated the most learning for us, while our results on the assessment were really important for goal setting and moving forward. The qualitative data helped us understand where we had cracks in the foundation. So we pulled the leadership teams together from each of the hospitals and then our ambulatory leadership team. We pulled them into a room. We scheduled a 3-hour session, which seemed like a long time to be together, but we had great leadership commitment to do that in each of our markets. And we set some ground rules when we walked in. So from a logistical perspective, we always had two facilitators, one facilitator who could facilitate the conversation and pay attention to the psychological safety in the room, then another facilitator who really managed logistics. So keeping notes and scores and screens and all of those things. We start every meeting in Ascension with a reflection. And for this, we wanted this to be no different. So we started with a reflective exercise where we asked our leaders to write down what their hopes for patient safety were and what challenges or fears they were facing with patient safety. And we talked about them as we started the assessment. And one of the beautiful things that we found as we completed the assessment was the learnings and where we had opportunities, and we could say, okay, these are some of the things that we need to do as next steps, addressed a lot of the challenges and fears that were expressed by our leadership team during that reflection. In addition to that, we did set some ground rules that this was an exercise for learning. This was not an exercise for looking good. And so we really wanted to have vulnerable, authentic conversation about where we were and where we had those opportunities and where we had those challenges. And so we said very clearly, we're checking our egos at the door. This is all about how we make Ascension better and how we continue to walk the journey towards zero preventable harm. So we just had great conversation from there. We came to consensus for each of the elements, which sometimes took a little bit longer than we maybe would have anticipated, but that data really helped us understand the perceptions that contributed to where we were. And sometimes what we found was that perception didn't match reality. And so it really highlighted for us, we have to manage both. One of the things coming out of the first assessment that we did was an intentional communication plan around the work that we were doing in quality and safety, and really taking a moment to celebrate the amazing contribution of our clinicians to patient safety and quality. We talk about it a lot at the corporate level, but what we realized is that didn't always trickle down to those frontline associates as it should, and it was really important. We take a moment to make that happen. We have reassessed since that initial assessment. We've taken a little bit of a different approach. So we are doing the assessment online. So we've shared a toolkit with each of our leadership teams in our markets. So the same people that came together in person receives the assessment in a survey tool. They take the assessment that generates a report for the leadership team. But then after we bring the team together to say, okay, let's talk about what the results showed, where we sustained, where we may have fallen back, what are the challenges that we're facing, and what are the reasons that we saw variation in the assessment results that we saw. So again, driving that qualitative data to really understand what those perceptions are and where those challenges are across the organization.
Kelly, I've heard so many descriptions of how people approach this assessment process, and yours was one of the first I've heard, and it still stands as one of the most important approaches to take. And the team must have been very appreciative of your social worker skills and conflict navigation. These are difficult conversations to have, especially, I think, around your table. You had members of the C-suite, but who else was in the room for those assessments?
So in addition to our C-suite members, we had subject matter experts for each of the foundational areas. So as we looked through the different elements of each of those areas, we said, who would be the subject matter expert in this within the organization or leading that work? So we had folks like our director of quality, our director of risk management. We had individuals from our associate health team that were at the table to help us understand more on workforce safety. And then members from our consumer experience team who really are driving patient engagement and patient advocacy. So we brought anybody that we could think of that was a subject matter expert related to one of the elements to the table for the assessment. Same people are receiving the assessment online and contributing.
And that diverse perspective, as you said, the work is imagined versus work is done can be so variable depending upon whose eyes are on the work and what their
Right.
experience is with the work. And that's why one of the major encouragements we have for organizations that are conducting the assessment is to think broadly and inclusively about who's impacted by and influenced by the work of safety to get that well-rounded perspective. Kelly, so many in our audience are nurses. They may be working in direct patient care. They may be chief nurse executives who are running a system like Ascension. And I'm curious if you might help me amplify how this relates to improving the day-to-day work for nurses and ensuring that we are meeting nurses who have such keen insights into where our patients are at and what they need. I'll also perhaps just dot in that in my experience with decades of work in the safety and quality space, many of our colleagues are in fact nurses who are leading this work. So it's an especially enriching conversation for the audience of the See You Now podcast. But how does this come to life for nurses at Ascension?
Yeah. So we've done a lot to engage with our nurses across the Ascension enterprise, specifically related to the National Action Plan. You absolutely have to have your chief nurse at the table. You need several nursing leaders to give feedback on the structures and processes and then to help understand those results. We shared a lot of our results and our action plans and bounced a lot of different ideas with our potential work plans with nursing affinity groups across the Ascension organization. So we have nursing leader affinity groups, we have nursing practice affinity group, we have a nurse manager affinity group, and then obviously we have a group of CNO colleagues across the country. Each one of those groups was intentionally brought together to provide feedback on nursing practice, on quality improvement initiatives, on safety initiatives. And we really take things to those groups and bounce ideas off of them to say, what if this is going to work? What if this is not going to work? Tell us why it's not going to work. What's going to stick? This is a challenge that we're facing. What ideas do you have for us to think about? And that feedback is really important because without that, we don't know what's going to work because we're not the ones doing the work. So it's been a really important aspect in using those nursing affinity groups within our organization for us to be sensitive to operations as we're solving for things that need solving within the organization.
Kelly, can you talk a little bit about an area that feels like it might have been a little bit sobering for you to maybe reflect on when you did your first assessment? Amid many bright spots, by the way, I just want to frame that. But we also have heard from organizations writ large that the patient and family engagement area is the foundational area where there's much more work to be done, much more opportunity for progress. So perhaps you can pull out a little bit about what you focused in on and doubled down on in the patient and family engagement realm.
And we've been on quite the journey with the patient and family engagement foundational area over the past 4 to 5 years. So coming out of the very first assessment, when we realized that our patient family advisory councils are kind of had that moment of, okay, all of our patient family advisory councils have been sunset, we really focused in on what are we doing with our community health needs assessment. So I'm really proud from an Ascension perspective, we have over 600 CHNA projects that are happening at a given time within Ascension. And that gives us an opportunity to engage with our community, get feedback. So we really focused in on some of the work that we were doing there and celebrating those interactions. That's a lot. Now that's just by virtue of our, it's not just, it is by virtue of our size, but it is definitely work that we're proud of. And then we took some real time to dive into our data and looking at equity and safety reports by zip code, looking at stratification of our safety data based on various patient factors, and really trying to understand what is it that from an equity and bias perspective that contributes to safety events within the organization. We do an amazing job of segmenting our quality data. by different patient factors, we didn't do quite so great of a job on the safety side. And so we were excited to develop some new dashboards that helped us understand much more on the safety side. More recently, we have doubled down on our efforts related to patient family advisory councils and how we engage with our patients and families. That looks very different now than it did before the pandemic, but we do that in multiple ways. So we've confirmed across the organization that we have patients and family and community members represented on all of our hospital level quality and safety committees. And then additionally, we bring those individuals together. So if we have 12 hospitals in one particular state, we take those members from each of those hospitals and we bring them together on a cadence to give them the floor to share with us as a market leadership team or a national leadership team, opportunities, celebrations, things they want to see us do, and just have input into our quality and safety strategy. And then additionally, our consumer experience team has done a phenomenal job leveraging technology. So we have digital patient panels that we have at our fingertips and can reach out to when we have various questions where we want a diverse representation of feedback. And so when a patient gets a survey, when they leave our organization, one of the questions we ask is, would you be willing to engage with us around quality and safety? And if they answer yes, they become part of that patient digital panel. And we've seen some really amazing feedback from some of the testing and some of the early questions that we've posed through that technology and forum.
Kelly, I love that last example of the digital patient panel. I love all of the examples. That one really stands out right now as technology and AI is exploding in the day-to-day work across all industries, but particularly now we're seeing very strong emphasis in healthcare. I'm curious if you could give an example, because there'll be a lot of people listening to this conversation that may be direct patient care providers and staff and others. Can you give an example of a digital patient panel question that is tied to something that those who are providing care might experience?
Sure. So we are participating in a network with PCORI around blood pressure management. And so as we were setting up those processes and trying to solve some of those challenges, we developed a set of questions that we shared with that patient panel to say, what is it that you need in order to more effectively manage your blood pressure? What is it that you need to be able to get to your appointments? How do we support you better? So general questions around how do we set up that process to ensure our communities and our patients have what they need in order to appropriately manage their blood pressure, right? A simple, right, or what we think of maybe simple is really not quite so simple for many of our patients and communities. So we were able to garner some patient feedback from that digital panel specific to that project that we were working through.
That's a great example, Kelly. And for those who may not be familiar, PCORI is the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute. Yes. And as we move more into the space we should be in with co-production of safety, and co-production of care that matters to patients, this focus on patient-reported outcomes and experience measures and what matters to patients is just so foundational. You know, one of the areas that Ascension also has been called out for is being a great place to work. Kelly, and in the realm and the foundational area of workforce safety and well-being, you have also done some extensive work. Could you amplify maybe one or two examples of what's happening in that foundational area, given your focus on the National Action Plan, and how you make day-to-day work for people better, or how you make them feel more valued as part of coming to work every day and giving their very, very best to ensure that patients have the best outcomes possible?
Our workforce safety work the past couple years, honestly, has really focused around workplace violence. I know that's a struggle for all of us across the healthcare industry today. And so we really have been focused on how do we ensure that our associates feel safe when they come to work. And so we convened a summit of frontline associates several years ago, and we brought them together and said, okay, we want to hear from you. What do you need from us as leaders as we embark upon this journey? And we heard some really simple things, and we heard some really complex things. And so we have been steadily chipping away at that over the past several years. One of the first things they said is put up signs. How hard is it to put up a sign that says this is a healing environment? And we wanted to make that really complex. And so we said, pause, we're going to make this simple and we're just going to do it. And then we'll learn as we go. But it allowed us to put our first foot forward and take a step in listening and responding to the voice of our associates. We conduct leadership safety rounds on a regular basis across the organization. Those are really important to our associates because it gives them the opportunity to share with leaders what do they need in order to feel safe at work or in order to provide safe care. So questions like, what is it that I can do to help make the care that you provide today safer for one of your patients? And we learn a lot through those safety rounds. And in conducting those safety rounds and doubling down on many of our high reliability practices, we've seen a significant response from our associates. Not only are our associate safety metrics improving steadily, but we were really excited. We administered the culture of safety survey back in September of this year. And we expected, due to some disruption in the organization with a cyber attack and just lots of things that had been going on, we would see those results decline despite the efforts that we had taken. And we were absolutely amazed and incredibly proud that we saw 68% of the items in the culture of safety survey within our hospital settings statistically significantly improved from where we were 2 years before. So we know that the work that we're doing is helping, it's taking us along the journey, and our associates are sharing that they're learning along the way with us and feeling safer.
Kelly, can you explain how that ties into this all-important notion of ensuring this a sense of trust? We know nurses are still the most trusted profession. We also know that trust around healthcare is on edge right now in many communities, but making sure that the workforce trusts leaders and isn't just thinking, this is not just one more thing, this is the thing. How is that showing up in your assessment of trust within Ascension?
So I think we've seen psychological safety within our organization grow significantly over time. One of the points that I would call out here, Patricia, in response to your question is when we get feedback from those various affinity groups or we get feedback during leadership safety rounds and we're talking to nurses on the unit about what's going on, or they're raising issues at their morning safety huddle that's then escalated through our tiers, it's crucial that we get feedback back to them and we act on the concerns that they're raising. The more that they see us addressing the concerns, reacting to things, or helping solve for the challenges that they have, the more that trust grows. The other thing that's really important is recognition. 5 positives to 1 constructive criticism. We have to recognize the amazing work that our nurses are doing on the front line. We have a program in Ascension called the Everyday Hero of Safety Program. And what we do in this is every hospital, every medical office in our organization recognizes associates for great catches and near misses that happen. But then those get escalated into a national pool of nominations. And every month we recognize an associate who demonstrated a safety behavior that either prevented harm to a patient or identified a systems issue that we were able to then step in and respond and help solve for. I'm really excited to say that within the past 6 months, we've expanded that program. So now every month we recognize an associate from our acute care setting for an amazing, great catch or problem identification. And we recognize an associate from our ambulatory setting. So we're expanding that program. We've seen nominations to that program just about quadruple over the past 3 years. And our associates have shared with us how amazing that recognition is. It's not huge. We recognize, we put it on social media, we give them a little gift, but then we also share their stories broadly throughout the organization. And every leader retreats that we have within Ascension, we share a reel of those everyday hero associates and what work they did and what safety moment they had. So it's widely shared, and our nurses and other associates have shared with us that that's just an incredibly special and meaningful program, and it builds trust.
It does build trust, and I get super excited about that because I think a lot of the work that nurses do in their daily care and caring often does go unnoticed. And very commonly, the examples that you just described, when nurses have a chance to co-create a system that's better for them, when they have a chance to feel listened to and heard and respected in their daily work, whether that be through leadership rounds or tiered huddles, one of the reasons why we see in all of the literature that nurses and other healthcare colleagues don't trust the system is because when they have reported, they don't hear anything back or they don't see a difference. And that day-to-day acknowledgement that I heard you, I recognize and I appreciate what those contributions are, is just so fundamentally important. I'm also curious if you might comment on some of the realities of the importance of seeing increased reporting. You know, sometimes folks will say, we don't want to see more reports, but can you talk a little bit more about why reporting matters and what we report matters and what we do with that information when we receive any hints that something might be a challenge or a risk within the system?
So reporting absolutely does matter. The more we can encourage our associates to share with us through whatever forum, the better. We have a goal every year in Ascension to increase reporting, and that goal will never go away. We will continue to drive that. That doesn't mean that we're having more things happening, but what it signals is we're becoming more reliable. We're becoming better at identifying risk, so that we can anticipate those things that might go wrong. And what that does is it allows us to prevent that next harm event from happening. We want to know that our associates can identify risk and then learn how to help them do that as well.
Kelly, in the first of our safety series, Don mentioned that he thinks that we way underestimate what he would call the heroism of the healthcare workforce, who are always on guard trying to stop these broken systems from actually causing harm. It's a safe, unsafe condition that's trapped thanks to good work. And I'm curious how that might relate to everything that matters to you and what the National Action Plan has brought to the world at Ascension.
Well, first, I completely agree with Don. I do think that we underestimate the heroism of our workforce. And that is exactly why within Ascension, the Everyday Hero of Safety program is so important, so that we can recognize that on a continual basis. And that program will just continue to grow as we recognize more and more associates. The safety team in Ascension sends out over 500 recognitions and thank yous for great catches and those episodes of heroism with our associates every month, which in itself tells us that we have systems that are broken. I think it's really important that we understand what is it about the system, what is it about our structure, what is it about the complexity of our environment that allows those systems to be broken? And the assessment within the National Action Plan helps to highlight those. So then we can tackle them and we can mend those cracks in the foundation so that there are fewer system issues on a continual basis. This is a journey. Every time we look, we're going to find more cracks in the foundation, and that's okay. I think that's an expectation we have to recognize as leaders and set for our associates, that we're never going to fix it all. This is going to be a continual journey, given the complexity of the work that we do and the humans that we are interacting within the system. And so the more we identify, the more we can respond, and then the more we can help mend those broken systems.
And those are core tenets of safety science. We are in a complex system. There are so many human dependencies. We recognize that humans have their limits. They've got immense capabilities. They've also got limits, and the importance of the work to fortify this system. Kelly, one of the things that historically we know has stood in the way of progress and safety, and I will also amplify Lucian Leap's words. He is really the heart and soul of so much of this work that we're talking about today and is the anchor of the work of our Lucian Leap Institute. One of the things he constantly said was the reason why we're not making progress is we continue to blame people when things go wrong versus fixing systems. And that whole environment of blame and the psychological safety that you talked about and that you've moved the needle on is super important. You amplified how you were really improving reporting, including near miss reporting and what that means. And perhaps using your safety expertise hat, you can help folks understand a little bit more about how some of what we might see in the system as near misses goes under-recognized in terms of the value that it brings and the people that raise our attention to those near misses.
I said earlier, the only direction that we want to see from a reporting perspective is up, because that helps us understand that our culture is continuing to mature across the organization. Our associates are able to identify risk that is presenting itself within the system, and we're able to identify where there are cracks in the processes or the systems that we're implementing. Near miss reporting is really important. It's really where we get the benefits of learning the most, because we didn't allow that harm event to happen. We can understand what was it that allowed you to catch or identify that process step that maybe was broken or it wasn't followed. And it gives us a path to have a wonderful conversation about what went right that allowed us to catch the issue at hand, as well as what is it where there's an opportunity for us to improve the system. Your comments about blaming, you know, I reflect on those a lot. We have, again, focusing on psychological safety within the organization. Another program that you'll hear mentioned in Ascension is the We've Got Your Back campaign. We want our associates to know from a leadership perspective that if they are telling us something about safety and it is in good faith, or if they're stopping something that's happening, they're speaking up, that no matter what, we've got their back, and we are going to support them and help work through whatever issue is at hand. And so that program has been another transformative element within our safety culture at Ascension, is just giving our associates permission to tell us what's going on. They need that. They need to know that they're going to be supported and they're not going to be retaliated against if they raise a safety concern.
There is an incredible nuance in what you just shared, and I just want to lift it as an example for our listeners who I think can relate, particularly for some of our very creative colleagues in nursing. Workarounds are actually really important signals that mature organizations who understand safety and understand risk will say, let's not blame the person for doing the workaround. Let's learn from the workaround. Like, what is the cause of the workaround and what can we learn? Because usually those workarounds are often signals that there's not just the individual variation, but an individual trying to address a challenge that is characterized perhaps more accurately as an operational or strategic variation. So being able to think about the language, the subtle language, oftentimes without words, but often with behaviors that's arising, are also very important cues for some of our nursing leaders and other healthcare leaders and safety and quality colleagues to tune on into really carefully, because those are oftentimes shining a light on ways that we can get better, and offering us helpful cues about the state of disease process that might be involved that is not person related, but is very often system related. It's a beautiful orchestration of the National Action Plan that you've framed for us today. You've talked about the absolute essential commitment of leaders and governance bodies, you know, with respect to safety as the reason for being, which is integrated into the mission of Ascension. You've also talked about the absolute essential role that patients and families play in the co-production of safety. You've touched on the cultural and workforce aspects of your work at Ascension and the interdependencies of that with better patient safety and improved patient outcomes. And the learning system has been threaded throughout this conversation as well. I have, as we near our time together today, I have a question around how you make sure that this work is communicated broadly throughout the organization. What's your measurement and communication strategy that keeps this work alive, keeps the spark lit every day for everyone in every encounter they have?
Yeah, so we have an amazing communications team, and they've done a beautiful job at using some of the results of the National Action Plan assessment we did early to say, how can we communicate better? Why do our associates not know some of the amazing outcomes that we have achieved within the organization? We developed a newsletter that we called Quality and Safety Matters. That was distributed to all of our associates, all 150,000 associates on a regular basis, that talked about the different celebrations with quality and safety, some of the outcomes we were achieving, as well as some of the things that we were working on and where we wanted engagement with. We also have a really robust communication strategy through our patient safety organization. So we share safety alerts on a regular basis when there's something that comes up and we go, yep, everybody in the organization needs to know about this and there's an action that needs to be taken quickly. It's funny, I always know when a safety alert goes out, I should block a little bit of time afterwards, because I'm going to get several calls with questions or working through various things. And so we know that those communications are well read throughout the organization. One of the other things that we have done that is found to be kind of a beacon for us every year is we've implemented an annual safety and quality summit. And so it's our own mini safety and quality conference within Ascension. We do it virtually because we're so large, but this really gives our associates time to shine and celebrate the work they're doing at the front lines to improve quality and keep our patients safe. And we do a word cloud at the end of that conference every year of what it meant to the associates that participated. And that's one of the things that gives us the inspiration for the next year. It's an amazing experience within our organization.
I love that intrinsic motivation and just the value that people feel when they know they've contributed to making healthcare a better place and a better experience for everyone. So, Kelly, we have covered a lot of ground. We've talked about the genesis of the National Action Plan that was really illuminated in session one of the safety series and brought to life today. We have a National Action Plan. We know from organizations and systems like yours and hundreds of others that the National Action Plan self-assessment can make a difference, is being used to intentionally design and improve and transform safety in the day-to-day work of organizations. What do you think we need to do to be able to make sure this spark is lit under every single care delivery organization out there to consider use of the National Action Plan?
Well, I think the more we talk about it and the more we celebrate the contribution the National Action Plan has to safety outcomes in various organizations, that organic spark is going to continue to grow. I think the other thing is, I was really excited to have CMS issue the patient safety structural measure as a prompt for organizations to really take a look at those foundational elements, the synergy between the patient safety structural measure and the National Action Plan is quite big. There's a lot of synergy there. And so I think directionally, that's a fabulous step from CMS to help prod. I look forward to having CMS say, let's do this in more areas outside of our hospital settings, because I think that that's really going to be a push that we need to help continue to grow the foundational work that we're doing within patient safety across the industry.
Kelly, you just referenced the patient safety structural measure. For those who might be new to it, it is applicable to most acute care hospitals in the United States. And starting in October of 2026, all applicable hospitals will be required to self-attest to their scores on the patient safety structural measure. One of the things that I get excited about this, it's adding a measurement structure and framework in place to reflect some of the very important milestones and indicators of what might be happening across hospitals. And I get super excited about it for nurses and the rest of the healthcare workforce as well, too, because if I were looking for a job right now, I'd want to see what those self-reported scores look like and factor that on into my conversation just as much as I encourage nurses to ask about many of the things you talked about, Kelly. Do you know what the survey of patient safety culture scores are like on a unit? How is the nursing staff and other colleagues responding to those opportunities for improvement? And what kind of a role can nurses play again in fortifying the cultures of safety in their organizations? And I think you've landed on an especially important development that really did result because of the National Action Plan itself, a national patient safety structural measure that we collectively hope will grow and expand to all healthcare settings. There is a lot on the agenda at Ascension, and one of the points that has stood out to me is your recent acquisition of ambulatory surgery centers. Congratulations. We also know that that is a rapidly important growing area. It's always been an important part of our healthcare industry. But I bring this up because I'm hoping that we can maybe just reinforce for our listeners that the National Action Plan is intended really for any healthcare delivery organization in any setting. And as we mirror the evolving, care delivery innovations and settings and the movement of procedures outside of traditional bricks and mortar hospitals into the ambulatory space, acute care in the home, and so many other rapidly unfolding realities, are there any final thoughts that you might have for those who are listening about using the National Action Plan self-assessment and what it might mean for the future of safety for wherever they're working in healthcare?
I say all of the time to my team and others that safety science is not care setting specific. And I say the exact same thing about the National Action Plan. The National Action Plan can be used anywhere. And when you look at it, when you start to read it, you think, oh my gosh, this is kind of overwhelming, maybe a little daunting. But probably the one piece of advice that I have to tell myself a lot and my team routinely tells me is walk, don't run. So as you're diving into the National Action Plan, as you're processing your results, as you're understanding all of the things that you're learning, sometimes we have to go slower to go faster. It's a lesson I am constantly having to learn and relearn, and just a piece of advice because you're going to get so much information from the National Action Plan assessment.
Kelly Randall is the Vice President for Patient Safety and Compliance within Ascension. Nurse Patricia McGaffigan is Senior Advisor for Safety and President of the Certification Board for Professionals in Patient Safety at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. Building a culture of safety isn't easy, but it is essential, and the stakes are profound and personal for everyone in healthcare. Yet as Patricia and Kelly have shown, when leaders make safety a core value, when patients and families become true partners, when our workforce is encouraged to report near misses, workarounds, and mistakes, and when they do, they're protected and supported, and when we learn and keep learning, we can become safer together. For See You Now, I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Thanks for listening. Nurses are transforming healthcare through innovation, compassion, and leadership. And Johnson & Johnson is proud to continue its 125-year commitment to champion nurses through recognition, skill building, leadership development, and more. The American Nurses Association is dedicated to building a culture of innovation. Nurses improve the lives of patients and communities through innovative thinking, empathetic connection, scientific rigor, and sheer determination. ANA is proud to support and advocate for our nation's most valuable healthcare resource, our nurses. For more information on See You Now, visit seeyounowpodcast.com and listen to any of the earlier episodes in our library wherever you get podcasts.